The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Use promo code WMVP.
Tune in every Friday for the official Waddle and Sylvie same game parlay on the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
21 years or older, Illinois only. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
The 4 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie has been brought to you by Connie's Frozen Pizza. Pick up Connie's Frozen Pizza right here at Jalisco, where we are at your local freezer. Turn your place into a pizzeria. Connie's Frozen Pizza. Real pizzeria flavor is in the house.
Live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio, you're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow the show on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. This is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
A lot of Bears talk today. We'll continue that here in the 5 o'clock hour. Some interesting stuff from Albert Breer today as well. I heard on Cap and J-Hud about Fields' development. I think Dan Graziano had an interesting take. He was at the game. I think he covered it nationally for ESPN. Talked to Luke Getsy over the weekend. So some interesting national takes on Fields and where the Bears are going. We'll get to all of that. We're having a blast here at Jalisco in Milwaukee and Des Plaines with Connie's Frozen Pizza. We were just talking a lot about the White Sox, and it is our pleasure, and it's been far too long.
Too long.
As we talk to the voice of the White Sox, Len Casper, who joins us right now from Guaranteed Rate Field. How you feeling, Len?
Hey, guys. Great to be with you again, and it has been a while. This is kind of playoff territory already for the White Sox. Feels like they've been there for the last couple of weeks, but the math is pretty simple. You probably need to sweep this series, and if you do that, you win the season series, which would be pretty beneficial. And I think people are starting to realize that there is no more game 163. That was kind of a big part of baseball for a long, long time. If you finish with the same record, you play an extra game, but with the extra wild card round, that no longer exists, and that's why you use the tiebreakers, kind of like the NFL.
I don't like it, Len. I didn't like it when they made the ruling and it went under the radar. But I just feel like that, again, like you said, it's must sweep because that's an extra game in hand where the White Sox can't tie if they do lose one of these games. And like before, if you tied, you knew you were going to see maybe one of the most exciting games of the year.
Well, here's the counter, Sylvie. You play 19 games in your division. I kind of feel like if you finish tied with one of your division rivals and you win that season series, that should be enough to give you the edge. Now, it could be 10-9 in this case. It could be 11-8. But let's just use a weird example and say one year the White Sox are tied with Kansas City and they go 17-2 in the regular season. You think it's fair that they should have to win an 18th game against the Royals? I don't. I think we play enough games in a division. Next year it'll be 13.
Right, right. It's less.
But I do think that that's a pretty big sample size to determine we need to move on to the next round at this point. So it doesn't benefit the White Sox this year, there's no question, but I do think in the big picture it may benefit them down the road.
What are you expecting from this team tonight, Len? Do they play confident because they've played such good baseball recently, or does the moment kind of lean on them a bit, and does it become a pressurized situation because of the nature of these, the importance of these games?
I'll tell you, Tom, I'd be disappointed if they don't come to play tonight and in this series. Number one, you've got Dylan Cease on the mound. They're 20-9 when he pitches this year. They've actually played better for the most part, even though they've lost 9 of 16. But they've played better against good teams almost than against the also-rans. And, you know, we're not going to tell the story of the season yet because it's not over, but if they don't win this division, I think the biggest issue will be the lack of sweeps and series wins against teams with losing records. They went 9-10 against Kansas City. They've taken care of business against Detroit, but remember, they got swept at home by Arizona. The really good teams, they beat up on the bad teams. And the White Sox have done that lately, but they didn't do it enough early, and it's put them in a very tough position going into this week.
And, like, Len, to go along with that, too, it's like sort of like make your layups, like beat those teams. They have a really, really good road record. 41-34, that is a contending team's record on the road. Some contending team, like the Yankees, are 38-36 on the road. You know, the White Sox on the road have done well. It's the that part again, 35-37 at home. Like, that's something like those series against lesser teams that you sort of look at, and it's hard to believe they've struggled that much at home.
Yeah, it is. And again, I would say if they do find a way to win this division, that record probably has to be 81 games have to be 41-40, 42-39, right? They're going to have to finish with a winning record at home in order to get to the postseason. So that means a 5-1 or a 6-0 week this week. But again, they put themselves in a position where they're going to have to do that. And it all starts tonight, right? If you win tonight, then we have the same conversation going into the game tomorrow night.
Len, your thoughts on the boost that they've gotten from Elvis and what happens when Tim's eligible to come back or healthy enough to come back?
Well, the word from Tim is that he might be ready to play in games later this week, but because of the time crunch, he might not have time to go down for a rehab assignment. So if he's back on the roster at some point this week, Elvis will move over to second base. I think it's more interesting what happens in the lineup. And I haven't talked to Miguel Cairo about it, but if Tim comes back without a rehab assignment, you might want to ease him back into the lineup, whether that's, you know, bottom third of the order. I don't know if you just put him right back at the top. But I would imagine those guys would be 1 and 2 probably in the lineup in some form or fashion. You hate to mess with Elvis Andrus right now because he's been so hot in that spot. But if Tim is back and he's 100%, for me, he would hit first or second.
Len, what are they going to get from Luis Robert? He is, batting seventh tonight. Back in center, and just like every time he comes back, you watch his facial expressions when he swings that bat, and you just see the pain.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. We keep waiting to see if he's back to 100%, and it hasn't really looked like it. I think the White Sox like him roaming center, and they like, you know, obviously the base running if he can find a way to get on. But the reason he's hitting seventh is because you're not quite sure of what you have physically. And quite honestly, you know, Andrus, Moncada, Abreu, Jimenez, Vaughn, Pollock, those guys have all been pretty good here of late, and they're all ahead of him in the lineup, and I think that makes sense.
Len, how do you quantify the Miguel Cairo factor?
I don't know. I don't know how to, you know, I don't know if you can go back and you know, change that situation if the White Sox are playing the same. I think anytime there's a big change like that, there is some sort of placebo effect. I do like a lot of the things he's done. I've enjoyed talking to him on the manager's show. I would just say on a personal level, what I've witnessed is that when you're an acting manager or a placeholder, so to speak, it's easy to get apprehensive and try to maybe manage the game the way you think the manager who was there all year would manage it. I think Miguel has come in and said, this is how I'm going to do it. And, you know, I haven't talked to him specifically about it. I don't know if he looks at this as an audition for the White Sox or for another team. But I've been very impressed at how he's maintained his same personality. He's actually doing the bench coach job as well and managing. He's got a ton of energy. And it feels like this team has responded very well. So I'd give him an A-plus for how he's handled this.
Len, will you be wearing your Cease stash while you do the play-by-play tonight?
I have one. I guess I could say on the radio I'm wearing it, even if I'm not. But
sure.
That probably wouldn't work. I'll try it on to see how it looks. Maybe I'll tweet out a picture of it.
They're giving it away tonight at Guaranteed Right Field. So, and like, he's coming off of a, like, not Cease-like outing in his last outing. What do you expect tonight?
I thought he was okay. It was 3 runs in 5 innings. He threw so many pitches. He just kind of struggled to find a rhythm in his last start. The last two times he's pitched against Cleveland, he has not allowed a run. So anything less than really good, I think, would be surprising.
Yep. And then baseball in general, Len, we always like to get your opinion on this. These home run chases, whether it's Pujols for 700, whether it is Aaron Judge, and more, maybe even more specifically Aaron Judge, because a lot of baseball writers are saying this could be the real record. But, like, I don't know if we could ever know about anybody. So how are you feeling about this chase for Ruth?
I think it's incredibly impressive, and forgetting about the steroid era for a second, I just think that in this particular environment when offense is generally down, velocity is up. I know he plays half his games in a home run ballpark, but the way I like to look at it, guys, is you relate the player to the rest of the league at that time, and the fact that he's going to basically out-homer the rest of Major League Baseball by possibly 20 to 25, to me, is one of the most incredible home run feats in a single season of all time. I mean, when McGuire and Sosa were doing it, they were doing it together. And I want to say Luis Gonzalez was in the 50s that year, right? I mean, you had a half dozen guys who were in the 40s and 50s and into the 60s. But the fact that Judge is where he is and the rest of baseball is so far down, it's really incredible. And I'm pulling hard for Albert to get the 700, and I think he will.
Len, great work as always. We will be listening tonight. Thank you.
Thanks, Len.
Thanks, fellas.
There you go. Len Casper, the voice of the White Sox.
Long time no talk.
Yeah, it's been because we every week we've been like because
abbreviated.
Yeah, abbreviated and
well, we lost interest as well. No offense, but
no,
know,
we didn't lose.
Like,
we
I'm joking.
The one thing you could say about the White Sox this year is they've always been interesting.
That's true.
You know,
whether you want to hate them or love them or be behind them or be whatever.
For good or bad, they have been an interesting watch this year.
There was a stretch there where you just kind of, you were glad when they weren't on television because it was like, it was almost assignment TV watching.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it wasn't fun because they were not a fun team. They were a fun-sucking team for an extended period of time.
Now go out and sweep a series and reel you back in. Let's get to Find the Great. This is brought to you by our great friends at Great Clip.
It's time to Find the Great on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app. Find the Great, presented by Great Clips.
What's your great? What are you looking for?
Listen, Dylan Cease has got to find that great tonight. Be the reason why you win this baseball game. He's been arguably, if not the best, the second-best pitcher in all of the American League this year. Go out there and be the horse that you've been 90% of the time this year for your team.
My grade is, you know, I hope they're finding the grade inside Hallis Hall right now, that they're putting their heads together. What you said early really resonated with me, Waddle. We could reset that about, you know, the difference. You could try to do both. You can,
yes.
You can still try to win the game. But the number one task needs to be to develop the quarterback and develop the offense. That even if you win games 16-13 and Darnell Mooney doesn't catch any passes and Cole Kmet doesn't catch any passes and Justin Fields isn't throwing the ball that much, are you really getting anywhere even though you've won a football game?
It's easy for us to say it on the outside looking in, but I think it, sometimes you do have to expand your view. You have to, you know, you have to zoom out and kind of look at the big picture here. And, yeah, we could talk about that later. But I feel strongly that they're going to have to change their approach if they want to accomplish what needs to be accomplished most, in my opinion, this year.
So my grade is not only with the coaching staff, with this game plan, go in there and find a greater game plan. This is for Justin Fields, too, because no one should absolve Justin Fields. Like someone was saying to me early, Sylvie, he's not surrounded. Sylvie doesn't have the offensive line. Sylvie, they only let him throw 11 times. And the other side of that is, what is your eyes told you about some of the plays that you've seen from Justin Fields?
Well, I think you've described them. I mean, it's the plays that have highlighted, you've highlighted, and I think are at the center of your, at least your nervousness, is the fact that in clean pocket situations, things have gone wrong that should have gone right.
Right. Whether it's a miscommunication because St. Brown is running a new route for the first time and it wasn't communicated well, whatever, but he had a clean pocket. There's stuff that they can do better. He can be better. Yeah. He would be the first to tell you that. And I think it speaks volumes about the Bears as a staff that we saw them adjust after the first half of a football game against the 49ers in extenuating circumstances in bad weather. So now I want to see them adjust in a greater picture from a bad game against the Packers. Now you've got this five-game stretch against teams that are on your level, that's in that mediocre mix there, and go against those teams and give us, you know, turn it around, build something on offense here.
Is Braxton Jones good in pass protection?
I don't know.
Is Darnell Mooney capable of taking his game to another level?
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
Okay. Is Cole Kmetz going to be a difference maker?
I don't know.
What is the upside for Justin? Is Tevin Jenkins capable of not just being a run blocker? Can he also be a pass protector? None of these questions can be answered unless you actually put them in a game plan, in my opinion, that tests them in those areas.
Is it time to go with Tevin full-time, and are we getting closer to Lucas Patrick starting at center, where then you could just go with those five guys and you don't have to mix it up?
I would prefer to see Tevin Jenkins get all of the snaps at right guard. That's what my preference would be.
And then you would prefer Lucas Patrick play in front of Sam Mustipher, yes?
I think when Lucas Patrick has the full use of both hands, you know, I mean, Sam's doing the best he can, but my guess is that their best five includes Lucas Patrick at center and Tevin Jenkins at right guard.
Yeah.
And, I mean, ultimately, isn't that what you want? Like, you can't evaluate your offense fully unless you've got your full complement of guys out there playing.
Yeah, I could have building blocks then on the offensive line. Tyler, what are you you looking for a grade here in any capacity?
Yeah, my grade was last night having two Monday Night Football games at once. I liked having that overlap yesterday where you could, if one game was bad, you could go to the other one. And I think that this is something the NFL should look at doing more often. I know next year they're upping it to three doubleheaders for Monday Night Football.
Okay.
But I wouldn't mind seeing it every single week.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about that. Because it was no.
If it's crappy games, you'll get tired of it quickly. So, I mean,
But is it better when there's two games if there is one that's a crappy game? Like, at least, Buffalo will start running away, and then it wasn't like we got much better from Eagles, Vikings, but at least that was an option to go to.
Again, I think it's more appealing early on because this is the start of the season. We're all amped up for it. Will the average football fan be clamoring for two Monday night games in, you know, early November? I don't know. I mean, for me, I'm fine with it. You could do it all season long, and I'd consume it.
See, I like having a non-diluted Sunday. I like where there's balance, where we get lots of games at noon, we get lots of games at 3, we get the singular game on Sunday, we get a singular game on Monday. Thursday night football kicks off the week. That's what I mean?
Yeah.
I hate when it's not balanced, when there's only a few games in maybe the 3 o'clock window, something like that. I heard Carmen Yurko talk about this today, that It's Buffalo and Miami, right?
Next week, yep.
That's going up against Bears Texans. That's a noon game, I think I heard them say.
That'd be a good Monday night.
Yeah, no, it is. You know what I didn't love about last night, Sylvie and guys? The overlap, I don't think they lucked out in the fact that because the Bills did run roughshod over the Titans, there was no need to stay with that game. But if it had been a closer game, I actually don't like the fact that Bills-Titans is rounding into the second half and now the other game's kicking off. I actually liked it in the past. I know it's later, so that doesn't work for a lot of people who don't want to stay up very late. But I like when it's a kickoff, like a doubleheader on a Monday night, and I don't have to worry about turning away from that first game.
You know what's bad about that for the network is then you've got a game kicking off too early and too many people are missing it, and then you've got a game kicking off too late. So you don't really have what time did the first game start yesterday?
6 o'clock.
Straight up.
So like it was that, like it usually isn't it? Usually like 5 and 8 or something like
that?
Yeah,
in the past they've, well.
Like, so like at least this was a little bit later. where, and then most of both games were in prime time. Now, it didn't turn out because the games weren't good.
I don't have kids at home anymore, so I just put one on each television and just roll.
Yeah.
So I kind of liked it, but again, I think that you may grow tired of it as the season rolls on if you've got two of them. More football, more better, I think, is what you coined years and years ago. So on that front, I thought it was fine last night.
Okay. Mallard, did you have any?
Yeah. You guys touched on it with Len. Aaron Judge's season is absolutely absurd. Len mentioned it briefly, but he currently leads Kyle Schwarber, who is in second place, by 20 home runs. That's only ever been done by Babe Ruth in the history of baseball. And back when Babe Ruth was doing it, he was the only guy who was actually hitting the ball in the air and swinging hard. So there was a reason. Like, Aaron Judge doing what he's doing, compiling these stats, is absolutely absurd. And, oh, by the way, he's just 1 point behind for the AL lead in batting average.
Yeah,
he could win the Triple Crown, by the way.
It's one of the greatest seasons
ever. If he gets there, Mellor, will he be your home run champion? Everybody has hit seven, haven't they?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I don't like that. I don't like either. Where we're picking and choosing.
Right.
It happened.
Yeah, with right. Sylvie.
They allowed it to happen.
Yes,
like, it's
I still
dumb.
Recognize Barry Bonds as the single-season home run champ.
The history is the history.
You do or don't?
I do. I do.
Yeah.
Hey, the history is the history.
Of course.
It happened. Tell the story. It's the story. Say, okay, they broke the record in the steroid era. That's why I've always said about Hall of Fame should be the same thing.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a funny little thing here that they're talking about him possibly being the true home run king. Nope, somebody hit 73 before.
And again, how do we know in 10 years from now we don't find out something else about this current thing when we're – I want to believe it's all on the up and up, and this is great. I want to get – it's just you could tell that we've been dragged through the mud with all this home run stuff because this is not even close to any of the publicity that anything got years ago with home run stuff.
And, oh, by the way, not that it's his fault or anything, but Aaron Judge – is bigger than every guy who we're talking about. Yeah. Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire. Right. Judge is just physically bigger
giant.
Than all of them.
He's giant. Yeah, I mean, do you also find it, is it good for the game or bad for the game that there is, you know, there aren't any 40 home run hitters outside of Judge. I mean, my guess is Schwarber will get there, but you don't have a ton of guys hitting a monster number of bombs. Is that a good thing or a bad thing for baseball overall? Is it kind of doesn't matter?
No, I think the more great stuff we see, the better in any time, right?
Sylvie's always been more dongs, more better.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what I mean. Like,
we all dig the long ball.
There's only one guy who's hit more than 40 home runs this year. I'm a little surprised to kind of follow that.
You know, with the ball and the humidifier. I mean, it's so complicated these days and what's going on with what. Whether it's spider attack from a few years ago, whether it's humidifiers.
That's another reason why somebody hit 73. You recognize him because all of the fluctuation with how the equipment's been handled, how you've ruled on certain stuff. Just weird. Baseball is weird on so many fronts.
Well, and the way people cover baseball is weird, too. All right, if you want to weigh in, 312-332-3776. I do see there's a caller. We do have callers. And I do see someone. Don't go anywhere, Andrew. Make sure Andrew and Bradley hangs on because I do see on the chat that it says he's offended by the field's comments. I want to find out why. And then we've got Meller's waiver wire where he helped me a great deal. I bounced back with a win in week two in fantasy. I was picking atop the waiver wire. I made a couple of picks thanks to Mellor, and he'll catch us up on that coming up next. Guys, as temperatures fall outside, do not wait. Get a free furnace with a buy one, get one free from ABC Plumbing, Sewer, Heating, Cooling, and Electric. Get a free furnace when you purchase a qualifying AC unit this fall through ABC. Financing is available with budget-friendly payments as low as $57 a month. ABC provides no cost, no obligation in-home consultations to help create the perfect system designed to meet your needs or extend the life of your existing furnace like I'm doing with an ultimate furnace tune-up for just $29. I'm getting them checked out next week. ABC has been serving Chicagoland for 70 years. Visit 4ABC.com. That's the number 4ABC.com. ABC delivers a five-star experience from the time you schedule an appointment all the way through when their technician finishes the job. ABC makes it easy and convenient for your schedule. To check this out, they've got evening and weekend availabilities as well. Technicians arrive in fully stocked trucks ready to take care of any issue that same day. So for all your service and installation needs, trust ABC Plumbing, Sewer, Heating, Cooling, and Electric, and consider it done.
Welcome back to Jewel Osco on Des Plaines and Milwaukee in Chicago. This is the Waddle and Sylvie Show, brought to you by Connie's Frozen Pizza. Stop by or listen live on the ESPN Chicago app on FM at 100.3 HD2 or ESPN 1000.
And if you go take a look at the injury report, and he's probable, guess what? He's going to play. But now I've got him as my starting quarterback in one of my leagues. I got tough decisions to make this week. 2-0, 2-0. Nobody cares about my fantasy team. I get it. But where's Jeff Meller at when we need him?
Meller took our idea and brought it to Waddle and Sylvie now that he's on their show.
Well,
he's like, screw you guys. I'll do the waiver wire on Waddle and Sylvie.
That's the first time that's happened. One of our great ideas has ended up on their show.
Meller, it cuts deep, man. It hurts.
It's all right.
It hurts.
Listen, it's one of his properties.
It is. It's his property. I know.
I mean, you know, we didn't own it. It came from his mind. I may have created it myself.
Listen, I'll tell you who to pick up if you want. I don't play fantasy football.
Now, listen, we created it. That's the problem. It came from an idea that I had, like, let's not just do the same old crap fantasy segment.
Right.
Let's change it up a little bit and just go with who we're going to add, that type of situation. First in the country to do it. Nobody else was doing it.
He's Mr. Radio. He's Mr. Idea.
Johnny was on today, baby.
Johnny Idea. That's his name, yeah. Meller, is that true? Was it a Yurko-led segment when the waiver wire began on Carmen and Yurko?
I'm sure that's how it happened in Yurko's mind, so I'm not going to, you know. He definitely wanted to do a fantasy segment, so I don't remember, you know. Like, I don't know if he can claim the first person to ever have a waiver wire segment
in history. But, yeah, I mean, we know that.
The first person to ever have a waiver wire segment. No, that's a falsehood, Johnny.
All right, so Meller's weekly waiver wire is brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Then I want to take a couple calls on the Bears. Meller, what do we got this week? I mean, are there still guys out there worthy of picking up?
Absolutely. Now, he's not available in every league. In fact, Sylvie, you're going to be disappointed because in our league, he's not available. But he is available in 64% of leagues. He's priority number one this week. Garrett Wilson, wide receiver of the Jets, rookie who went off 8 catches, over 100 yards, couple of touchdowns. He clearly has the talent to be a top 10 fantasy wide receiver in the league. But Joe Flacco's the one throwing him the ball, so I don't think you're going to get that each and every week. But he's a priority. He's a guy who has the talent to be a game breaker. So he's the guy who, if you have the top priority this week, go out and get him because he may be able to replicate what he did last week.
Mel, did I see that Joe Flacco's either second or third through 2 weeks in passing yards so far? Crazy.
Yeah, I mean, well, but, you know, that's what happens in fantasy football.
Yes, that's
exactly what Sylvie was talking about with Carson Wentz. That happens sometimes. Like, that's why with quarterbacks in particular, it's hard to go crazy and draft a guy too high. A guy like Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, as good as they are, there's guys who week in and week out are going to throw 50, 60 passes, and you might be able to just stream if you're on top of the matchups.
He's not available in our league because I drafted him. That's
good
why.
Call. There you go. Sylvie can kick his feet up and not even have to worry about it this week. Another guy, I think I gave him out last week, Jahan Dotson for Washington, the Commanders. He was on the field for 98% of the snaps. They have Curtis Samuel, they have Terry McLaurin, but they clearly are a better offense than they were last year. Jahan Dotson, another rookie wide receiver who you may want to go out and look at and see if he's available on your waiver wire because he could be a guy who you might want to start using here as we enter week 3 in fantasy football. A guy who you should check to see if he is already rostered, a bench and stash, if you will, on Dylan C's mustache night. Michael Gallup of the Cowboys, a bench stash for you out there if you want to go ahead and see if he's expected to maybe return in the next couple weeks. And even though the Cowboys are without Dak, if they get Michael Gallup back, that will certainly help their offense. a cautionary don't go and add this guy for you. Waddle, this one's for you.
All right, buddy.
Jimmy Garoppolo. Listen.
Yeah, he's not a big fantasy
better real-life fantasy, real-life quarterback than fantasy guy. He is obviously going to step in for Trey Lance. That's better for the 49ers offense as a whole. But Jimmy Garoppolo is not somebody who's going to have big passing numbers. Yeah. So do not go and add him unless you're playing in a two-quarterback league. Then, of course, you do need
him. And you get extra points for handsomeness.
Yes.
And if you do that, then you definitely got to
draft opposite
him.
Carson Wentz, isn't he, where he just is, they win because of
certainly
him.
Handsome-wise, yes.
Yeah, well, everything, yeah, all the way around.
Let me also toss out the name Jordan Mason of the 49ers. Now, he is second in line for the running back position.
You guys drafted him?
What?
I think Tyler's taking a bow.
Ian over there was feeling his oats.
I think I did see that.
Team Ryan and Ian.
You guys were shrewd. You snapped him up on Friday.
We got him last week.
Yeah, good move by you guys. Very forthright on your part. Jordan Mason, though, for anybody out there, he's available in 98% of leagues. So if anything happens to Jeff Wilson, he's right now next in line for the 49ers carries. And as we saw last week, just being that guy tends to be a productive spot.
I think we still got our ass kicked because we were playing against Lamar and who else? Jalen Waddle, I think we're both on Danny's team, I think.
Yeah,
it was mostly Lamar. Yeah,
ran into that last week. Tough week to be playing against Lamar.
Not good.
Sony Michel, now the backup for the Chargers. He's getting a lot of the goal line work. I don't love that. He's not somebody who I want to start necessarily. But if you're desperate for a running back who might be able to step in and do something for you, Sony Michel could be a guy who scores a touchdown if that Chargers offense gets in close. And also, obviously, if anything happens to Austin Eckler, he looks like right now like the guy who would stand to benefit the most. A couple of Cardinals running backs who you may want to snap up in case James Conner cannot go. Darrell Williams and Eno Benjamin. Now,
Eno
is the guy who would probably be the pass-catching back, so that's a little bit more valuable. But Darrell Williams is likely to be the guy who would get the goal line carries. So kind of I would prioritize Williams first, Eno Benjamin second, but either guy is worth a claim if you need a running back. And then finally, tight end.
What are they saying, first of all, real quick, what are they saying about Justin Herbert? Like, he's not going to be able to throw with that cracked rib cartilage.
I mean, I don't know. Like, so he gets the extra, 3 days because they played on Thursday. I think it's more about pain tolerance. And the good news is, if ever you wanted a team to numb up your quarterback's ribs, it'd be the Chargers.
That's not the team.
Right?
That's not
the
team.
They've got some experience. They know.
No, that's not the team. The guy tried it the last time and punctured a lung.
Well, the good news is he did it once. He can't do it twice.
That is
BS. There's no chance in hell he'll do it again.
Yeah,
they do have the same doctor is still employed by the Chargers who's currently being sued by Tyrod Taylor. So,
Mallory, you just didn't advocate for going to a doctor for the same thing where he screwed up the time before, are you?
What are the odds that he punctures a lung twice?
Are you going to that doctor?
No. I read that right away, and I'm like,
I'm not going over there. Yes.
A million to one shot.
Tyrod Taylor totally changed the course of history.
Yes, it absolutely did. So, I don't know. Like, if Justin Herbert is active on game day, you have to lock him into your fantasy lineup. That's how I approach that.
Okay. All right. Anything else, Miller?
If you're looking for a tight end who might be able to help you out, Evan Engram. Everyone's probably had Evan Engram on their team at one point. He actually had a productive day last week, so he's somebody who might be able to help you out if you're desperate.
Okay. There you go. Meller's Weekly Waiver Wire, invented by Johnny the Good Kid.
Yeah, right.
Brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. I want to bring in this caller here. Let's see. Because he wanted to talk about Fields. It's Andrew and Bradley. Andrew, you're on Waddle and Sylvie. What's on your mind?
Thanks, guys. I just kind of was offended because I was a season ticket holder for 6 years, big Bears fan, and I do put in a lot of work come game day when I'm going to a Bears game. I'm getting up at 5 a.m. I'm waiting on the gates to open. I'm packing my car. So I get there, get the gates open. I'm setting up my grill, my bag set. I'm tailgating for 3 hours before the game. I'm drinking inordinate amount of alcohol, which I haven't had right now. I'm wearing my crazy Bears stuff. I'm putting a hat on. I'm painting my chest. When the Bears score, I'm singing Bear Down, Chicago Bears.
Yeah, look, you're getting that voice hoarse for that, right? I mean, like, you're making sacrifices.
I'm drinking 2 to 3 beers per quarter. I'm standing in the bathroom.
You got to kick it up a notch watching that offense.
I'm second guessing all the play calls.
Yeah, that is true. That is
good. I'm staying the whole game. I'm staying for the last snap of the game, even when we're losing.
All right, well, let's cut to the chase. On a scale of 1 to 10, how red is your ass based on the comments made by your quarterback?
I'm offended. I said, you know, Bears fans are true and loyal people, and, you know, they're excited about the team. And I think, you know, they do a lot of homework. They're there for the Bears every game, watching the games. You know, I even tailgate and listen after the game to the radio. I'm there with them the whole time.
I feel like you're being sarcastic. Like, you know that this is not work, that this is a hobby, and you're playing this up. You're right. I mean, do I got that right, or are you really offended?
I'm a bit offended by it. I think, you know, it's like we understand they're athletes. You know, we understand that there's a lot to it, although, you know, nowadays – I'm thinking there's more injuries nowadays in these early games because they're not doing the hit. And they're not. I came from an era of the 80s when, you know, it was full pad Waddle. It was full pads. I was there.
You ain't got to tell me. You don't have to tell me. Yeah.
A lot of injuries early on when guys aren't really going 100% in these practice games. And so what
let me ask you a question. Andrew, let me ask you a question. Who, like, when Waddle was laying on the ground – in Tampa with his chin split open, and what was wrong with your leg then too?
I had an MCL sprain, like a second degree, and also I think I had chipped a bone in my hip.
Do you, even though you were there in Tampa and you were sweating your ass off because it was hot, it's hot to go down there and cheer on the Bears
hot as hell on
those trips, and you paid for an airplane and everything like that to fly down there, a hotel room. Who do you think cared more about what happened in that game, you or Waddle?
Hey, look, that's not going to happen in today's world. You know, getting a shot like that, look at what happened to the game last night. There was a pass across the middle. The receiver caught the ball, and the guy hugged him to the ground. I said, that doesn't happen. You used to get a shot, and you came across the middle and put your hands on the ball. There was two guys looking
headhunting. What about Trey Lance's ankle that was pointing the other way, or T.J. Watt's pec that was torn off?
Well, that's part of the game, but that wasn't something that was a hard hit or a, you know, those kinds of things still happen in the game regardless. You know,
I didn't think we were arguing about that, Andrew. Keep up the great work. We know how invested you are in this team and how hard you're working for. A Bears win, all right? And go get them this weekend, okay?
Hey, go Sox. We need a win tonight. We got a sweep. I need tickets to the game tonight.
Travis, do we have any extras for Andrew? Have any extras for tonight's game?
Oh, no.
No, we don't have any extras. Andrew,
thanks for calling, buddy.
Right, see ya.
The good news is he could probably go purchase some White Sox tickets.
Wow. Was he putting us on? Or,
yes, I think he was.
I think he's putting us on. I think he's leading into it.
He didn't. Well, I think so. I think the giveaway was when he says, "I sing Bear Down."
Yeah,
Arlington Heights Bears. I think that was the giveaway.
He's leaning into it.
He didn't even mention the fact that he has to leave the stadium and stand in that 45-minute line just to get out after every game. That's the biggest sacrifice.
That sucks. That's hard work.
Yeah, I'm not. Listen, I'm going to tell you that
Fields gets a police escort from the hotel. You think we're getting as fans an escort? No.
I really don't care what he says. Just play well. Just play better.
Play better. I'm interested to hear what Fields says, if he caves tomorrow.
Well, I don't know if it's caving. Like, listen, as you get older, you know you're more PR savvy. I think you described it perfectly yesterday. He responded to it in a clunky manner.
Clunky.
I think that Brandon Faber probably will say, hey, listen, you know what? This is a misdemeanor. You know, this is a parking ticket.
That's what I mean.
But just, you know what? We're going to move on. He'll move on. And just, you know. Unless you want to deal with it. And if you want to deal with it, that's on you. Like, I mean, Jay didn't care.
But then he wised up the older he got. And he played the game better. It's a game. That really is what it is. They're playing a game on the podium, too. Like,
Correct. You
play the game.
Yes.
All right, coming up next, we will talk to Black and Abdallah. We are live at Jewel Osco. It's all brought to you by our great friends at Connie's Frozen Pizza.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Due to rain, we move ahead in today's scheduled programming here on ESPN 1000. That's right, it's Black and Abdallah. We're early. Waddle and Sylvie had to bail at Jewel because it started raining.
We welcome you to Rain Delay Theater of Waddle and Sylvie. Black and Abdallah in for the guys.
Well, see, radio equipment and electrical equipment out in the rain, they don't mix.
Doesn't work.
So that's the end of Waddle and Sylvie. It's all right. There's only a couple minutes
left.
There's
like 3 minutes left.
The Waddle and Sylvie program before Black and Abdallah kick off. But here we go. Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. If you want to join the conversation, we're on the air until 6:30 tonight. Then we'll have White Sox baseball. Connor McKnight will have the pregame show coming up at 6:30. White Sox and Guardians. Abdallah, here we go. The biggest series of the season for the Chicago White Sox. Three games set against the Guardians. They're four games back. You have to make a move. This is the time.
Yeah, you got a lot of marbles, Chris, and this is for all of them right here. This is for all of those marbles because you've got Dylan Cease on the mound. Should be set up for your pitching staff to be successful the rest of the way for this series. But you've got this game tonight. You got to win the first one before you can set up a sweep. Because if the White Sox don't sweep this series, then they could be, you know, four, five out, maybe six out by the end, and then you're not mathematically out yet, but that deficit is pretty insurmountable.
Well, yeah, right. And there's not a lot of time left here in the season. And we've seen from this point to this point that the White Sox, every single time we expect them to kind of turn the motor and get things going in the right direction, they seem to falter, especially when they faced competition that's not worthy of their time. They haven't played up to what we expected them coming into the season. The Guardians have been a surprise. They've been the best team in the division for the majority of the season. They are very good. Here's the test. Dylan Cease is on the mound tonight. Mm-hmm. You're up for a Cy Young against Justin Verlander. Go out and shut down the Guardians. Give us 7-8 innings. Give us the strikeouts. Lead this team. Be the ace that we need this season. Mm-hmm. And finally, let's get the bats to waken up and to actually do some damage here, and let's see what the White Sox have to offer tonight.
Yeah, and if they win tonight, you know, you've got Lance Lynn, who's been decent as of late, and then Johnny Cueto, who's been kind of a godsend for this season, coming in late after he was added to the roster and after ramping up, but he's been pitching well too. But Cease, you know, he threw a lot of pitches in his last outing. He gave up 3 runs in 5 innings, so you've got to keep that pitch count down, not like last start, if you want him to go deep into this game.
It's Black and Abdallah. We're in for Waddle and Sylvie early. Waddle and Sylvie had to end the show early because of rain outside of Jewel. And like we were saying, the electrical equipment does not mix with the rain coming down. So they had to jump off the air quickly and end the show early. But Black and Abdallah, we start things up coming up next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.